This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. The
Score! All right, we apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for that presentation of the starting lineup by a very annoying public address announcer. And on that note...
Yeah, on that note, we have to say a reminder. Tickets now on sale for the Bulls play-in game versus the Heat on Wednesday, plus potential home games in round one of the NBA playoffs. Go to bulls.com/postseason for all things Bulls postseason, including info on tickets, watch parties, and more. A reminder, Adam Amin will be in studio tomorrow at noon with us to talk Bulls and everything else. Also, that game you can actually hear right here on 670 The Score, part of a doubleheader coming up Wednesday. You got an afternoon Cubs game against the Padres, and you've got the play-in game at 6:30. So a big listening day right here on 670 The Score.
Bulls tickets, Jiminy Cricket, Wilson Pickett, Bulls and five.
Or Bulls and one. Can we just get Bulls and one?
Well, they have to be Bulls and two.
Bulls and two to, just to get there.
I don't know whether to sing When a Man Loves a Woman or... When You Wish Upon a Star, right? Those are my choices.
Either way.
How about When You Wish Upon a Star as if it was sung by Wilson Pickett? Let's go! Let's go!
Those are the voices of one Lawrence Holmes and, more recently, Matt Spiegel. Reminder, transitions on 670 The Score brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. Get the vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai. Fellas, happy Monday. I hope you had as glorious a weekend as I did, because it was a good weekend for weather. It was a good weekend for viewing. And the Sox and the Cubs both won big series.
Well, our weekend started a little later than most because we didn't get home until like 8:30
Amazing.
On Friday night.
That's why I didn't come out there.
As much fun as Lynx Golf was in Lindenhurst, it was fun on a million different levels. We should have just stayed there another couple hours. That would have been the move.
Oh, the traffic was that bad?
That was ridiculous. I don't know how people do it out there in the world, man.
I thought about it. Like, if
just
I was
sticking
just
around?
Stayed like another hour, it would have been an hour to get home, and that was the same amount of time.
I had the tragic moment of like, oh, Dad, GPS is telling me to go down to Lakeshore Drive. I guess I could do that. Nah, I'll be fine.
No, you got to do that.
Yeah, man. Huge mistake.
I mean, coming back from Hallis Hall, like sometimes you have to be like, oh, Green Bay Road. Okay.
Yeah.
Massive empathy for all the drivers, the truckers, the delivery people out there. Because we don't do it very often. So I don't like bitching about it when we do it literally once every couple of months.
Yeah, but I will say
that...
But
we feel you now. Now just know we can feel your pain.
The people that were at Lynx Sports Bar, it was so great.
So much fun.
They were terrific hosts to us. There's all sorts of stuff that came out of it. Spiegs won money on a slot machine.
How much did it cost you? Serious question. You bought a round for it, but how much $200. Did it run you? $200?
Is that all he won.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they were awesome about the whole thing.
Any more than that.
Thank you, Lawrence. Nick Furiani. Nick Furiani, like our sales guy who ran the thing, he had the same reaction that I told you that like Parkins and other people have had when they play golf with me. They're like, oh. I'm surprised you make contact that well.
Wow.
That's not a good feeling.
That's so disrespectful.
Oh, my God. So I went there and I was hitting a couple shots out of the bay, and like a whole bunch of people were like, wow, Speaks is a pretty good golf swing. And they were like, well, I had no idea. It's like you really outkicked your coverage of golf analysis.
Like when they see your girl.
Yes. It's the non-plement. You know what I mean?
But that's a score tradition.
What's that? The outkicking of one's coverage?
Yeah. That's a
I hope
score
to be a
tradition.
Part of that tradition going forward.
God, if Marshall's outkicking his coverage, what are we talking about?
I would say that Marshall is about the only person that has come close to not outkicking
model
his
class grade A.
He and Goff are the only two people that have ever walked in this building that can make the argument I was the prize.
We expect a hottie with you, in other words. Yes.
I'm not and even... that's why Mark Grody is here.
Grody is the hottie today.
He is the hottie.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Look at him.
Sorry to make you look average here.
Grody, I saw the glasses today. Like, you get your Eberflus glow up going on.
Better
record, though.
I mean, like, I'm in a weird place with glasses. I probably need to actually have glasses, but I'm in denial about it for the last 3 years.
So these are just for fashion?
So these are
cheaters?
No, these are cheaters. I wish I didn't even have to use these, but I do.
All right, let's talk about this a little bit. Why? Yeah. What's the issue here with you not wanting to wear glasses?
Because in my life, I have never had an issue with my eye. Like, I've never worn glasses.
Yeah,
so,
you're getting older.
I guess I'm getting older.
I was going to say he's maturing.
I feel like I've always been very successful without my glasses. So I just need to head into a new territory.
I don't know that that's the way you want to roll with that.
That's amazing. May I make a suggestion?
At some point, that ends, Mark. That's the whole thing. You're not successful anymore.
Our eyes obviously are one of the first things to go as we get older.
Yeah.
I would say to you that you should go to the eye doctor because when you get a pair of glasses, you're going to be like, I have really not seen the world.
That's so funny, man. You're right. There's probably going to be lots of things like, oh my God, I'm driving better now.
You're going to. You really will.
She wasn't nearly as cute as I thought she was.
I can't believe I wear that shirt so much. Yeah. Like, all sorts of stuff
that. It's a good point. It's a good point.
This cheese has been moldy every time I've had it.
You fight it as long as you can. And, like, I fought the bifocals, like the doing all the transition lenses stuff. I fought it as long. I fought it with my optometrist. Like, my optometrist was like, you can get by, like, one more year.
So you took that year?
And I took that year. I did have the weird year in grad school, though, where my eyesight got better, which is very weird.
Ooh, the rally. You had a rally of
sorts.
That's
what I'm hoping for.
So you just probably had better ideal conditions that your eyes survived through
I was reading books instead of screens.
That helps.
Oh, that can do it.
That's a lesson.
Had you improved the lighting in your life, that can also have a big effect.
The lighting was a big deal.
Ideal conditions. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm having a bounce back. Actually, sir, you're just where there's light.
Also, the round of HGH that Lawrence was on was doing wonders.
It's very important.
And you hit 30 bombs that year.
You hit 30 bombs.
How many Ks to those 30 bombs?
No. I was contact guy too. So,
man, you were like Chase Meidroth up in here.
How about it?
That dude.
I like it.
What was the stat? He swung at one pitch outside the zone all weekend.
I like that.
So on Friday, when he walked twice, he walked three times. And
got on base four times.
Yeah, took 15 pitches in his first game in the big leagues. Then the second day, he watches a walk-off from the on-deck circle against his old team. Right? The third day, he breaks up Garrett Crochet's no-hitter.
Beautifully,
all against his old team. How about that for a debut weekend that kid?
How about I add this to what you just said on breaking up? That wasn't an 0-2. That was an 0-2 pitch.
He is a legit on-base machine. He thinks about
on-base machine.
He thinks about it differently than just about anybody on either team. Like he said, every pitch is a competition with the hitter or with the pitcher, and he's just trying to win every pitch. Like, that mindset can get you far in this league.
It sure can.
425 on base in the minors?
Yeah, in 207 games.
That's kind of insane. 425 is a high mark.
Only thing I worry about is the book.
Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. How fast is the book going
to
catch up?
It just got open, right? So how long will it take pitchers to get to the back of the book?
If you make that kind of contact, it would seem that you're probably pretty good at adjusting as well.
If your pitch selection is that good, then you can control it.
The pitch selection is key because
that's Kyle Tucker's gift.
Nick Madrigal was bat to ball skill,
sure,
but he wouldn't walk and he couldn't hit.
And you can be bad. You can be bad to ball skills and not walk if you hit a bunch of bombs,
right.
Kirby Puckett.
Not if you ground out to the second baseman all the time.
You can be Vlad Sr. and not bother to walk, and that's all right. You know, he walked some, but still, yeah. So, but pitch selection is a good thing. But have a weekend, Chase Madroth. Welcome.
Have a weekend for all of us.
Yeah.
Like, as sports fans, this weekend, you retreat it. What happened yesterday at Augusta was
insane.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Like, I was brought to tears by Rory. Like, and Speaks not going to spend a lot of time on it, but Rory, you could see him and you could see the realization of, I almost gave this away. Like, the relief,
like
the joy,
three times.
The joy and the relief were
stress,
playing out in the same moment for
right,
him.
Right next to each other.
Yes.
He broke down and cried two different times within the first 60 seconds of finishing that
thing. He didn't know what to do with himself. Like, when you watch the reaction, you're right. It's like, elated. I'm happy, but now I'm going to break down, and I can't believe I just did that. It was probably 75% at that moment stress relief as opposed to happiness and elation. And now he could be happy about it.
I mean, the career slam, it's six dudes. Six,
and one of them's his idol.
Yeah, it's Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Tiger Woods, his idol. And now Rory, that's it. And none of the other five needed more than three tries to complete their career slam with the missing event, whatever the missing event was. It took him 11 years. So imagine thinking you're one of the all-time greats, but you can't say it for real for 11 freaking years. And none of those other guys, it took him more than 3 years, three tries at that last major. So this was, he kept referring to it, a crazy burden for him to carry.
Well, I just think the idea that he was 24 years old and he was just one away, right?
Yep, in 2014.
He was 24 years old. And then not to get it till you're 35. And it seems like he's older than 35 because he's been around forever. But what were those 11 years like? It's not like he didn't win. He won other stuff, but he wasn't winning majors.
And he was coming close to winning majors, too.
It was agony because it's just out there. And you know it's out there. And you know every year people are like, well, maybe this is the year where he completes the Grand Slam.
I think the other big thing is the expectation, not just of himself, but everyone else expects him to win it at some point, too. So that's when it becomes really mounting. It's one thing if you're like, oh, you threatened, maybe you'll be back. But it's like, no, we know how good you have been.
Oh, yeah.
We know how good you are. We see in these other events, we see how close you've come. And to just come up short,
He missed two putts last June at Pinehurst when Bryson won the U.S. Open. He's playing against him, you know?
Did you guys think he would recover from the double bogey on 13?
I did not.
I thought we were watching Decay. We were watching Jean Vandeveld or Greg Norman or what have you.
I didn't think so, and especially like when they cut to Justin Rose, and Justin Rose is on the practice green, and he's like, I'm getting ready.
Yeah. I kind of got mad. I was like, you don't have to do that. Don't ruin this for everybody, Justin Rose. You're a real nice guy. You're a gentleman. Don't ruin this now.
I would have been okay either way. I'm happy for Rory, but I kind of like the idea of the guy that didn't give up, too. Like, he could have gone to the clubhouse and just waited and then been told. He's like, nah.
I'm just going to go.
I'm going to be out here, and I'm going to be waiting for you. And you wanted, you got to come get it.
And he waited, and then what happened?
Well, he put a beautiful shot together.
He didn't do anything wrong.
And then Rory had a better one.
I think Rory's just happy DeChambeau didn't win.
I guess they didn't talk.
They didn't talk. They were together.
The entire round.
They did not speak.
Because he was Liv, right?
Yes.
So you got
this goes back to the Liv.
I don't know if it's that or if, I mean, we don't know. Maybe it's just, they've talked about it.
It's definitely that, but it's also like, even if you're going to pretend that's not the thing or like do the mental and psychological work to get over that, why bother? You don't have to.
Why bother in that moment?
In that moment, you don't have
maybe,
to.
Maybe
you
can it's choose. Something that can then sure. be fixed later on.
He hugged him. He hugged him after the round.
Yeah.
And I imagined, like, you know, when I read that later, I'm like, well, maybe, you know, they talked after, but like during, why bother to add that yeah. psychological
yeah,
lift?
Yeah, I'm not going
to
throw another thing onto.
I mean, it's just like crazy. Like the White Sox, like we talked about with Crochet, watching Rory. Getting the Cubs at night, and I mean, Messi was at Soldier Field.
Yeah,
and so was Caleb.
All I had was
yes, he was.
And all I had was the traffic. That's all I noticed was the chaos and the traffic. But like,
I was on Fox last night, and Lou could not stop complaining about it because he's right there as well.
Yep,
so.
yep. But it's like this. It was an embarrassment of sports riches on a beautiful day.
That's why I loved it, especially on the heels of the tournament, which was. A great tournament, in my opinion, even though people were like, where are the upset? The mid-majors aren't going to... I was like, you had four number one seeds proving why they were number one seeds.
And
I'm good with that.
Two really interesting games that were played inside of the Final Four.
Yes.
Exactly. So I think on the heels of that, you always wonder, okay, what's Masters weekend going to provide? And it was more than just golf this past weekend for us to kind of enjoy and soak in, especially with the Cubs, Dodgers, the hey man, Sox getting their first series win.
I'll say like this weekend on the calendar is, and really this 2 week stretch to your point, Marshall, of the Final Four and the Masters with baseball in full bloom and the NBA finishing up and maybe the beginning of the NBA playoffs, depending on how it works out. That's always in contention for the best sports calendar moment of the year. There's that. And then there's like, MLB postseason in the heart of the NFL season, which is also when basketball and hockey are just starting up. So to me, it's like those two fortnights, if you will, are in competition every year. This one's going to be tough to beat. Let's check back in the fall, but this one will be tough to beat.
I prefer this fortnight always. I like the beginnings. I like the end of the basketball. I like the pre-draft kind of sprinkled in there. Everything's clustered up together, and NBA and NHL playoffs, I mean, I'm more with that.
And there's so much good and interesting baseball right now. Like, Hunter Green might be the best pitcher in baseball. The Padres are an outrageously good team right now.
It's so funny, like, when you look at just the graphic yesterday on ESPN, it was like, Cubs, first place, NL Central, Dodgers, second place. Yeah. Two games back.
Top
National League West.
The top six teams in the MLB power rankings on MLB.com are all National League teams. Mm. The top six.
But we knew that coming in, how this was going to play with the American League not being nearly as deep as the National League in terms of contenders.
National League better for sure. But the fact that it's six and not none of them are the Braves, who are what, 4-11?
The Braves are a disaster.
Yeah.
That Jurickson Profar kind of sums up where we're at.
You know what my favorite part of the whole sports weekend was?
What's
now that
Mark
think about
Brody?
It, my favorite part about this was the following. On Saturday, it's the fifth inning of the Cubs and Dodgers game. It's scoreless. I'm feeling a little groggy, not feeling great. So I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. I went to bed early. I gutted out five innings, hit the DVR. I'm going to wake up. I wake up the next morning, and I'll be damned if they didn't win 16-0.
I stayed up late because I'm doing hit and run the next morning. Yeah. I fell asleep at 8-0. And I'm like, this one's under control.
Right. And you were right.
16. Yes.
I was joking about pitching for the Cubs in L.A. I should have been joking about pitching for the Dodgers Saturday night. I could have gotten a couple of innings.
Yeah,
in.
You could have.
If you do impressions, player. I'll leave you in there.
Those impressions are awesome, though.
So
they're on the money.
I hadn't realized this. Ron Coomer let out a little bit of a grunt or a grimace. I guess grimace is visual. When
he's a purple character from McDonald's.
He rambles a lot.
When your guy, Gage Tater Workman, gets his first hit against a position player.
It don't matter.
I don't think it matters either.
Grimace.
Thank you. But apparently Coomer went, like that, which I have to assume means that you don't want. Yeah, but like it is what it is.
But he was also upset about Matt Shaw's first hit, right? Remember the little
because it was a dribbler.
A grown man hit that ball.
Yeah.
I remember Chris Bryant cracking a grand slam off of a position player in Cleveland, I think, in 2016.
Sure.
And that counts. Yeah, it still counts.
David Ross's first career home run is off of Mark Grace.
Yep.
Is that right?
Of course. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you take him where you can get him.
Hey, I remember this one time. It was about 3 years ago.
Oh, tell me.
You're mean. He hit a home run off a position player.
Williams Astudillo.
And then he pimped it, and then that was the end of the White Sox.
and you're mean, for
Dude,
that matter.
You're not even kidding. That was the end of the White Sox.
The beginning of the idea of the manager siding with the other team.
He went against his entire team and the entire culture because he needed his baseball police badge shined up.
And the guy who had been carrying you offensively up until that point,
he was shamed into failing and having his career end.
Then went into the tank. You got Tim Anderson trying to hold the entire clubhouse together.
Seriously,
with duct tape.
Cracking jokes on the plane and people laughing at it. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was the end. Yeah, weird ass
your
Minnesota
main Mercedes
Twins.
Chapter will be an interesting chapter. That is a name.
Chain reaction.
You know.
Every time I was trying to think of your mean's name, I thought of Diane Vicieto. I guess it's just the body type a little bit. They don't look exactly alike, but it's just, you know.
Close enough.
Yeah, not really. I should do better.
Here's what we got going on the show. Sahadev Sharma is going to try to explain to us how the Cubs are going to fix this Justin Steele problem, because it's a problem. So we have to get with him on that. Steve Stone's going to be on the show. Maybe he'll have thoughts on Justin Steele. We'll talk with him at 325. Josh Schrock is going to be on the show. You want to know why, Grody?
Why?
Because he covers golf now.
Golf.com. He writes for golf.com.
That guy's probably in heaven covering golf. Heaven.
So we're going to mix and match and do a little bit of Masters and maybe a little bit of Bears.
Very nice. Bears. And at 5 o'clock, we've got some sourced info about White Sox ownership that people need to listen to. So tell a friend at 5 o'clock.
Tell a friend to tell a friend. We will get started talking about the weekend and what's up with the Cubs after they take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers after Tanny's Open. That's next on The Score.
This segment is sponsored by Preflight Airport Parking.